Life in eastern Ukraine is returning to something like normal. That's happening as a ceasefire mostly holds. Remember, this is a battle between Ukraine's government and pro-Russian separatists. People living in the pro-Russian city of Donetsk had to endure shelling between separatists and the Ukrainian government for much of the summer. Today, that shelling has stopped, and citizens are beginning to venture out. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley is in Donetsk and sent this report.
There's standing room only on this bus heading down a central avenue through Donetsk. All across town, though it's still eerily empty, shops and restaurants are beginning to open. On an esplanade in front of the city hall is 33-year-old Irina Vladimirovna, her mother Ludmila, and her four children. Tapping them on their heads, she gives their ages, 9, 7, 6, and 4, and their names. Vladimirovna says they've been hiding in an underground shelter for weeks because they had nowhere to escape to. Now, at last, the children can play outdoors. Because school hasn't resumed, she's teaching them at home. Vladimirovna, a kindergarten teacher herself, says it's shameful how the Ukrainian army shelled schools and killed its own citizens. She says this region has no future in Ukraine.
Why is it that they treat the people of Donbass so inhumanely? People in Scotland get to vote on independence from Britain, and no one pointed guns at them.
50-year-old Vanya, who is standing nearby, sees it differently. He doesn't want to give his last name because of what he's going to talk about. He says he was staying in a village where Ukrainian soldiers were camped.
There are all these lies about the Ukrainian army, that Ukrainian soldiers raped women, stole things, forced people to bring them moonshine. None of that happened. But these yokels believed it and joined the separatists. If they'd known the truth, half of them wouldn't have even bothered.
Today, Donetsk is controlled by the separatists. The flag for the Donetsk People's Republic flies everywhere, and there's graffiti splashed on walls about those they call the fascists in Ukraine's capital, Kiev. The separatists are clearly trying to hone their image. They give out official press accreditations and treat journalists with professionalism and courtesy. They also carry big guns and ride around town in cars with the hazard lights blinking. 42-year-old Andrei Purgin is a top official in the Donetsk People's Republic, or DPR. He was at peace talks in Minsk, Belarus last week. The agreement signed there grants more autonomy to Donetsk, but stipulates that it remain part of Ukraine. This week, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said he'll introduce a bill in parliament granting the eastern region special status. Purgin says it's too late.
We're not in Ukraine right now, and if they pass a new law, we'll read it and probably agree with a couple paragraphs, not more. We are on track for full independence from Ukraine. That's all.
Purgin says since this region became part of Ukraine 23 years ago at the collapse of the Soviet Union, the government in Kiev has stripped it of its culture and identity. Our Russian grandparents now have Ukrainian grandchildren, he says. All this talk worries 32-year-old Donetsk resident Pavel Stepanenko. Just 2 years ago, Ukraine hosted the European Soccer Championship, and there were games in Donetsk at its new stadium. Now Stepanenko fears his town could become an unrecognized limbo state like Abkhazia or Transnistria.
My wife, she's a teacher of French. It was our dream to visit some places, probably Europe, Paris, to see different culture.
But if he has a passport from the Donetsk People's Republic,
it's not be accepted in other countries. So only we can go probably to Crimea and Russia. And I don't really accept that.
Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Donetsk.